Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 185, the first four stanzas. In full assurance of thy grace, to thee my prayers ascend. In thy abounding love and truth, O God, salvation send. We mention to you Psalter 185, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 13 through 36. Chapter 24. But before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and blessing. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things, upholder of all things, in thee in whom we live and move and have our being, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, may it not be evil in thy sight as we together open our sinful lips unto thee, that infinite holy Lord God of the heavens and of the earth. Lord, give that we may have a little impression that in prayer we are speaking unto thee, that holy God. But also, Lord, may we also be given that faith to come unto thee, to believe that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, by nature, we are not humble. We have no need. We're born prayerless, and we have no true faith. It's all sinful. It's all polluted. We have our backs to thee. No hunger, no thirst, no urgency, no need. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember us in thy abundant mercy, and may it become a wonder unto us that we are still in the time of grace, that thou hast given again another opportunity to be in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. And Lord, we beg thee, every time we gather is a new time, and we have the same need as a listener, but also to preach. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We need thy spirit. We need thy grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in thy abundant mercy, come, rend the heavens, and come down among us tonight, and give those blessings that no man can give us, that we cannot give ourselves, but that thou alone, that triune God, can give unto unworthy sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then tonight, that thou would richly bless thy word. Thou knowest today is Easter. It's a day that we have set aside to especially remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is risen. But thou knowest how it is in the hearts. They can be so cold, so hard. Thy people, the little lambs and the sheep, can be so confused. They hear it, but they have not received the joy in that message. Everything is confusing, all shut up. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would come with thy spirit tonight, as thou hast visited those two travelers. Wilt thou visit thy people? Come with thy spirit, as we may see that thou hast drawn near unto them, spoke with them. May we ask thee tonight that thou would draw near unto us, that thou would come among us, that thou would draw near unto poor and needy sinners, and ask questions and give answers. Oh, we beg thee through thy word, through the preaching, and by thy Holy Spirit, that thou would comfort poor and needy sinners, that they may, at the end, be given that true joy, that their hearts would burn within them because of thee, because of thy visit, because of thy word, because of who thou art for unworthy sinners. Oh, give then, Lord, an opening to preach. Give a mouth to speak. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that we may proclaim the truth of what we have read in this history, and that thou would bless it richly, and that it may be a blessing for many. May we lay the whole congregation before thee, Lord. We ask that thou would convert the unconverted. Remember them, give them life, awaken them, give urgency, and care for all thy people. Oh, they are so slow and foolish, so slow to believe, so foolish in self. They need rebukes. They need instruction. Oh, wilt thou give it then tonight from thy word and visit us in thy mercy? We pray and ask thee, Lord, that thou would then give, that we may go home tonight and say it was good to be here because the Lord was with us. Lord, we need thy presence. We need thy blessing. We don't only need thy help to listen and to preach. We need thy presence. We need thy blessing. May we experience thy favor, thy mercy, thy grace. And Lord, we deserve nothing because of all our sin, because of all our iniquities. But look upon us through thy dear Son, him whom thou hast exalted to thy right hand. Oh, may he also be for us that interceding high priest in heaven and interceding for us, that those blessings may flow unto us as a congregation, but also individually. We pray and ask thee, Lord, that thou would remember then also the church, thy church that is persecuted for thy name's sake, those that suffer for the name of that Savior who is risen. O Lord, wilt thou uphold them, help them, care for them, give them strength. And Lord, we know from thy word that thou art praying for thy people, that their faith fail not. Oh, may we then have that hope and expectation alone in thee. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also in these coming weeks when there will be elections in Canada. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. Do not leave us to ourselves, to our own foolishness. We only deserve, Lord, that thou would leave us to ourselves because we have forsaken thee. We have cast thee out of schools, out of parliament, and we have no need for thee as a nation, and sin upon sin is abounding in our nation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, yet give that there may be those in elected that may be in the government that may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may have a desire to obey thee, to follow thee, that thy word be a light upon all their decisions, and that they may have respect unto thy word, unto all thy commandments, and also unto life from the moment of conception until natural death. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Give, yet, that there may be those who long to serve thee in government. Give them strength, Lord. Give them faithfulness and uphold them. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also in this coming Lord's Day when the elders are called to lead the services. Guide them and lead them to a word to share with the congregation, and that it may be a blessing. Help them and bless the congregation. We pray, Lord, that thou would remember then also all the cares and needs of the whole congregation, all the sick, all the mourning, all those who have special needs for their body, for their minds. Remember those who cannot come up to thy house for various reasons. Oh, we beg thee, visit them where they are. Maybe they are listening along. Give them a blessing in their home. But remember also those who could have come up to thy house, but for reasons that are not good reasons, who have stayed home. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou give that repentance, and that they may not forsake the assembly of coming together in thy house with thy people to hear thy word. Lord, give then tonight much prayer, much opening, and that there may be many Aarons and hers praying and crying unto thee to give opening, to give a blessing upon the preaching of the word, and that it may be blessed to the honor and to the glory of thy name. We ask that thou would also remember that family that we have sponsored. O wilt thou open the way, if it is in thy will, that they may come to Canada, that they may come to dwell among us, that they may come under the means of grace, and that it may be blessed to their souls also. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also Tristan Van Meren, who will hopefully, the Lord willing, be married this week. Remember her and Anton. Give them a blessing, and that they may begin their marriage together under thy blessing, and that thou would help them, care for them. Remember us all in our marriages. Remember those who struggle. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give faithfulness, give love, give that we may be helpmeets, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. We pray also, Lord, as thou hast said in thy word, that we may bring all our cares and needs for thee, for our bodies, for our souls, but everything. Lord, thou knowest the desire also as a congregation, if it is in thy favor and will also that this church building may be extended or a new building. Lord, thou knowest all the cares and concerns, all the things that are against it. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou can move the hearts, the king's heart like rivers of water. If it is thy will, then open the way, and that we may be given grace to follow thee, and may we see thy hand in it for thy honor, for thy glory. And so, Lord, we ask thee tonight, gather with us, give us a good hour, bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, and may we ask thee then to forgive us, to wash us, to cleanse us of all our many sins. Look upon us through that precious mediator, that only redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name and sake alone we pray. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 117. 117, all four stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 117, all stanzas in the collections for this evening is for the church and for the school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ calls himself the Good Shepherd, and his children, he calls them his sheep. There's a very intimate relationship between the Good Shepherd and his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks and saves his sheep, as we read in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Good Shepherd, he calls his sheep by name. He goes before them and they follow him. We read this in John 10, verse 3 and 4. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, he gave his life for his sheep. He said in John 10, verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so in these ways, we see the deep love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls himself the Good Shepherd for his sheep. But what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ, that Good Shepherd, rose from the dead? What did he do? But what happened even before that, when he was crucified? What happened to those sheep? The sheep scattered. We read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Is this not true regarding the disciples, that they have scattered? What will the Good Shepherd do? He rose. What will he do? Will he just leave them? No. He's the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He will seek them. He will seek those scattered sheep. We read this as a prophecy already in Ezekiel 34, verse 12. Listen about the good, precious shepherd. As a shepherd seeking out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. The Lord Jesus Christ rose, and he did not immediately go to heaven. Why? First, to prove that he had truly rose from the dead, but also because he is the Good Shepherd, and he will visit his sheep. He will comfort them. He will rescue them from troubles, from soul troubles. The Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd full of compassion for his sheep. And he sees two sheep that have scattered and that are in a cloudy and dark day in their souls. And so this evening, with the Lord's help, we will consider what was read to you from the history of Luke 24, verse 13 through 36. And right now I will only read verses 25, 26, and 27. Luke 24, 25, 26, and 27. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so with the help of the Lord tonight, our theme is the risen good shepherd visits two troubled sheep. The risen good shepherd cares and visits for two troubled sheep. A first thought, the good shepherd draws near and questions them. And we'll see this through verse 13 through 24. The second thought is the good shepherd wisely instructs those troubled sheep. We see this from the verses we read, verse 25 through 27. And then, what is the result? What's the result of that good shepherd visiting, drawing near, preaching, comforting his troubled sheep that are in such a dark and cloudy day? Well, that's our third thought. The sheep rejoice in the risen good shepherd, verses 28 through 35. So the theme, the risen good shepherd cares for two troubled sheep. The first thought, the good shepherd draws near and questions them. So we see on a road outside of Jerusalem, two sheep of the good shepherd walking and talking together. What were they talking about? I'm sure they were talking about what happened on the cross. They're walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking. Maybe they're sharing their heart cares, their burdens with one another. Who are they? We know the name of one is Cleopas. The other we do not know. We don't know. But if you look at them, are they happy? They're not happy. They're sad. They're discouraged. These two sheep are walking on this road in a dark and cloudy day. No, not in the nature, but in their soul. They're confused. Jesus Christ has risen, but their cloudy and dark day in their souls. They've heard it. But they cannot embrace that. They cannot get that truth in their hearts. There's so many other things blocking that such good news. The tragedy of Good Friday and the empty tomb has overwhelmed their hearts and souls with grief. And they're talking as they're walking with each other. And then what happens? Children? Young people, what's happening as they are walking? Someone comes and joins them. Who is that? Who is that stranger that comes near to them? He draws near to them and he walks with them. One that they do not recognize. Their eyes are holden. They don't see who it is. Who is it? Who is this stranger? He's the risen Savior. He's that risen good shepherd. And so we read in verse 15 and 16. In Luke 24, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. What a beautiful picture. Two sheep on a cloudy, dark day in their souls, and that good shepherd walking with them. He draws near to them. And what does he do? What do we read in verse 17? And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So he draws near and he notices. He takes notice. Yes, that good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows what's in their heart. He can see on their faces they're sad. He's the compassionate shepherd. And then he asks them a question. He wants to hear their voice. He wants to draw near to them, and he wants to ask them. He asks them questions. He knows perfectly exactly what's in their hearts. And he knows what's in your heart, congregation. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in everybody's heart. He knows what's in your heart, little lamb. He knows what's in your heart, sheep. You, it's Easter, but it's a cloudy, dark day, maybe in your soul? This compassionate shepherd, he draws near and he asks them, why are you sad? Why are you sad? He asks them questions. What kind of communication are you having? What are you talking about? He draws them out. He wants them to open his hearts to him. He wants them. He wants his sheep, his lambs, not only to praise him, but with all their heart troubles, all those difficulties, all that confusion, that they would share it, that they would pour it out to him. And we may, as he says in his word, pour out your heart. You may pour out your heart, congregation, to him, to the good shepherd, all your troubles, all your confusion, all your unbelief, everything that's bothering you. He loves to hear those voices crying unto him. How do these two men respond? Cleopas He's amazed. He's startled. We read in verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" It's like he said, how can you not know? Why are you asking us? Have you not heard? Are you a complete stranger? Everyone knows. Everyone knows what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. How does he respond? Dead good shepherd, you see him walking with them? He asked them another question. Verse 19, what things? He knows, but he wants to hear. He wants them to open their hearts unto him. He wants to hear their voice. It's like he says, please tell me more, man. You hear that? Tell me more. You can share everything with me, sheep, congregation. You can share everything with him. Tell me what's bothering you. Tell me everything. Tell me all your cares. Tell me all your concerns. Tell me your concern. Your only concern. It's all this information in your head. It's not in your heart. Tell me everything. Tell me you're afraid of yourself. Tell me all your cares, all your troubles, all that you can't believe and rejoice in, although you hear it. And then these men, they pour out their hearts as they're walking with the good shepherd. They tell him honestly everything that's bothering, everything they feel in their hearts. And we read in verse 19, "And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then they share how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and that he was crucified. And then we read in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." We hear from their answers what's bothering them in their hearts. We hear trusted. Past tense. They don't have trust right now. Trusted. They trusted. It's dark. It's a cloudy day. It's a day of unbelief in their souls. We trusted. But now, they didn't say, we trust in him. We trusted. We can't trust today. That's why we're so sad. Why? A few thoughts. They didn't have the correct understanding of Jesus Christ and the only way of redemption. They thought he would deliver them also from the Romans. They thought he had an earthly kingdom. They didn't have the right understanding of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They needed a redeemer, but they didn't know how. They didn't know how he could redeem them. They needed it, but they didn't understand the way of salvation through him and through him alone, only through the way of that sacrifice of being crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Calvary and their understandings and expectations did not go together. They could not grasp the spiritual nature of Christ's kingdom. Christ's death and how they saw Christ's kingdom did not go together in their thoughts. They were thinking of a throne and not of a cross. It didn't make sense to them. They thought it would be a conquering upon this earth. They had to learn such great lessons. They had to be brought to rest only upon a crucified Savior. They had to be cut off of all other foolish thoughts and ways of way that salvation would go or where that kingdom would be. They had to be cut off of all their thoughts, their expectations, their way of thinking. But they had to think only and know and to be brought upon that only way of salvation that was through God, through a crucified Savior. It was a dark, cloudy day in their soul because of unbelief. Yes, unbelief. They didn't understand and believe the fullness of the gospel that Jesus Christ had taught them as they had walked earlier with them. Jesus had taught them of why he needed to suffer, why he needed to die, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. They didn't embrace that with their whole hearts. And these confused sheep, troubled sheep, share more. Verse 21, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. As if they're saying, yeah, and he did say the third day. But it's the third day already. The day maybe is almost gone because we know they came to Emmaus at the evening. And then they said in verse 22 through 24, yea, and certain women also of her company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. But him they saw not. They should have seen him. You say, what? Yes, they should have seen him. These men should have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not with the physical eye, but by that eye of faith. That eye of faith. They were called to believe the word of Jesus Christ, the testimony that he had given. The testimony of others, the testimony of the empty grave, the testimony of the message of the angels that he is risen. They cannot live without him. That's their heart. But they want to see him with the physical eye before they will believe that he has risen. And so they pour out their hearts, all their disappointments, all their trusting that they had. But now they can't trust. They pour out all their struggles, all their cares and needs of their hearts to him who's walking with him. My friend, do you understand these men? Do you have dark, cloudy days in your soul? You know the truth. You've read the truth, but you just can't believe it. You can't bring it into your heart. You can't rest on it. You can't embrace it. You should, but you can't. They heard all the good tidings. And we've heard many good tidings in these past months. And are you, so to speak, walking beside these two men yet? Hearing all the good news from Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and you're walking with them? Dark days in your soul when there's such glorious good news in him? Delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Can you understand these men? Maybe a little or more. How it is in your heart. What will Jesus do with these sheep? What will he do? He hears they trusted. They don't trust anymore. He hears all their troubles. Will he just leave them? Will he allow them to just go in their unbelief and their hopeless condition? No. It would be right. It would be right, but he can't. He won't. He's the good shepherd. He's that compassionate, good shepherd. Oh, there's so many reasons to forsake and leave his sheep. But it's not in his sheep. Salvation is in him. It's in him, in the triune God, and he will never, ever forsake his sheep, even when they come to such dark, cloudy days of unbelief. How will he help such troubled sheep on such a dark, cloudy day? What will dispel all those clouds? What will bring those rich, glorious truths deep into their hearts that they can rejoice? The living word will guide his sheep by the written word. And as they're walking together, that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those true troubled sheep, Jesus Christ will instruct them. He will instruct them about what? Whom? What is the only help for such downcast, troubled souls?
He uses the word of God. He used the gospel. And as they walk for 6 miles, for example, from Cortland to Springford, that's about how long it was. And as they walk for 6 miles, Jesus Christ, he drew near to them, he questioned them, he drew them, so they poured all their heart out to him, and now he will preach to them a beautiful sermon. He will instruct them. He will wisely instruct them. And so we come to our second thought. The Good Shepherd wisely instructs them. Jesus Christ has been walking beside them for a while. He's been listening to everything that they poured out of their hearts to him. What do such sinners need? They need an honest and wise instruction from the Word of God. An honest and wise instruction from the Word of God. Now that Good Shepherd, he's listened. He heard it all. And now he will open his mouth. And now he will wisely instruct his troubled, dark, cloudy day of unbelief, these sheep. Notice, first, that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say to them, "My sheep, I understand. I understand. You need the application of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot believe." No, he does not give them that excuse. No, he doesn't. And yes, we need grace. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. Without it, we cannot believe. We need it. Without it, it's impossible. We can do nothing. We need the power to bring it into our heart. And yet, be careful that we don't so simply say as to give an excuse. Sheep, lambs? Does the Lord Jesus say that here? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. What does he say? He says in verse 25, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets that have spoken." He says, "Fools, O fools." That good shepherd calls his troubled sheep, "O fools." Is that wise instruction? Is that a compassionate Savior? Yes. But how would you feel, congregation, if you would come to the parsonage and you sit beside me for a while and you pour out your heart, you just pour it all out, and I listen, and I just turn and look at you and say, "Oh, fool." I hope I never do that. And yet, this good shepherd, he's wise. He knows exactly what these troubled men need. But what is he saying with that word "fool"? Well, in the New Testament, in Greek, there's two words for fool. First, fool means absolutely senseless, without judgment, completely without grace, an absolute fool. An example? The Lord Jesus Christ in the parable of the rich man in Luke 12, 19 through 20. "And I will say to my soul," that's the man who had barns, and he said, "I'll build bigger ones. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" This man is a fool, an absolute fool. He was only concerned about eating, drinking, being married. He had no concern for his soul. He only thought about now. But now what about you, congregation? Are you a fool like him? I don't know if this man heard the gospel. I don't know. We don't read that in the parable. But you've heard the law. You've heard the gospel. But are you only still concerned about eating, drinking, being merry, everything about this life? No concern for your soul, completely dead, no judgment, no true wisdom? Who are these fools? They are they who hear the law, never tremble, hear the gospel, never draws them. They reject the gospel and they carry on with their life. Fools. And oh yes, maybe they can even explain doctrines. Doctrines of grace. Doctrines about the resurrection. But they have no need in their heart. They're not like those women this morning. And they're not like these two disciples. Absolutely in no way. No missing him. No love for him. No need for him. But how different the sheep. The sheep. He calls them, oh, fools. He found them as fools. But by his grace, he made them wise. He gave them life. And they began to seek the only way of reconciliation with God by God's grace. And yet they can be so foolish again and again and again. And they need rebuke. Yes, rebuke. And so fool in this context means, why are you so slow of understanding? Why are you so weak in faith? Why are you so foolish? Why do you not believe? Why do you not understand, O ye of little faith? Why are you so weak? It was an honest word. It was a needed rebuke for them. Christ is wise. He's the perfect counselor. He's wise. He knows what his sheep needs. And he speaks as that counselor, as we read in Isaiah 9 verse 6, with his sheep, he instructs them, and they need rebuke sometimes, because it's for their good. Rebuke, oh fools, why are you so slow to understand who Christ is, who I said I am, who I said I would be, what I would do? I didn't come for an earthly kingdom. I came for a heavenly kingdom. I came to redeem you out of this kingdom. Why are you so slow to believe? Why are you so weak in the faith? And who that Savior is for a sinner? And then he says in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The good shepherd, that compassionate shepherd, that wise shepherd, he teaches them about themselves and how we need that sheep and lambs. We need to learn more and more about it. But he also teaches them about himself. He teaches them about their foolishness and his wisdom. He teaches them that they're foolish and weak and they cannot live one moment without him. And he rebukes them for their unbelief. Is this not exactly what that same good shepherd does with his sheep, rebuking them, instructing them? It's wise counsel. Those sheep, must we not say, little lambs and sheep tonight, were so foolish. So much unbelief. He says, I will never forsake thee. And then we doubt his word. We question it. I feel forsaken. So many wrong understandings about the gospel. So many wrong understandings about self. So many wrong understandings about that glorious way of salvation that's full and complete in a triune God for a lost sinner. So slow to believe that abundance of grace and mercy that flows to sinners through that blood of Jesus Christ. So often cloud and dark days in the souls. Why? It's our guilt. It's our guilt. It's because of that unbelief. Because of not believing that word, the precious word, that we're not built upon the foundation, upon the word of God, resting on it. What does the Lord say? Instead of looking within, what are my feelings? What are my thoughts and reasoning about everything? Unbelief. So slow to believe what he is for poor, wretched sinners, and how he saves and how he is everything for them. Oh, must we not tonight also, sheep, little lambs, confess our unbelief? Our unbelief of his word? Must not we confess, oh Lord, I'm a fool? I'm a fool? The good shepherd wisely instructs them. These two men are slow to believe. Why are they so slow? Is it right to say that to them? Yes. The woman testified. The Lord Jesus spoke to them, and it heard about an empty grave. Peter and John saw it, but they didn't believe it. They heard it with the ear, but they didn't believe it in their heart. What more evidence did they need? They had much evidence. They had the word and evidence. They should have believed and they should have rejoiced. But him they saw not. They didn't see him with the eye. And so they had a cloudy, dark day in their soul. They wanted to live by sight. They wanted to live by feeling instead of only resting upon the word of God. They're like the poet, and maybe that's you tonight. Psalm 119:28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. What do such souls need? The Lord Jesus Christ drew near to them, questioned them, wisely instructing them, rebuking them, instructing them about himself. Yes, he will. He will instruct about himself also, but especially about what? About his priestly work. My friend, do you need Jesus Christ as a prophet, that king, and a priest? Or do you only need him as a priest or a prophet to teach you? Do you only need him as a king to protect you, to guide you, and to lead you? But do you also need him as the priest? These two men did not understand about Jesus Christ as a priest. They said he was a prophet. They spoke about a kingdom, but they did not say anything about him as that priestly office. Do you? Do you need that complete Savior and all who he is and all his offices as a prophet, a priest, and a king? What fools. What fools we can be. Congregation, by nature, we're all fools as that rich man. But also God's children, we can be so fools, such fools. Why? Why is it? It's because of our pride. Yes, it's because of our pride. God says you're unrighteous and all your righteousness are filthy rags. But we don't really believe it. We still try to seek for some self-righteousness to please him. So slow to believe self and who we are, as God's word says. And we still try to find something in us. But also so slow to believe of that only way, that only way, that free way, that full way, that unconditional way, only through a Savior who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. To only rest completely in that one who's a prophet, a priest, and a king, instead of looking within for this and for that. Dark, cloudy days in the soul. Instead of believing unconditionally in the record of God's word, of his son, and of that only way of salvation. Unbelief. Slow to believe. Oh, fools. Slow to believe. Ought Christ not to have suffered? Don't you see it? Do you think you can satisfy? Don't you see it? He had to suffer. He had to die. Don't you see it? You have nothing to pay. Oh, fools, so slow to believe, to become absolutely bankrupt, to need everything from him, his righteousness, his blood, everything. God speaks of the only way of salvation in his word. And does he lie? We so often question what he says, but listen to what we read in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Has he spoken to you? Has he spoken especially, applied a promise in his word to your soul? You remember that day? Do you think that changes? That unconditional promise that was paid by the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ, that only Lamb of God? That will not change. Nothing from God, of that salvation, of that covenant of grace will change. How must we not confess? Oh, fools, and how slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Are we like the poet? Is that you? Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Are you speaking to yourself? I don't know if these two men only spoke to each other. Maybe they spoke to themselves too. Why art thou so cast down? But they couldn't lift themselves up. Those poor ones cannot lift themselves. Yes, they need to be rebuked for their unbelief, but they cannot lift themselves up. What do these sinners need? What's the only help? What do these poor, troubled souls on dark days need? What dispels their clouds? Yes, they need a rebuke, but the Lord Jesus did more. What did he do? What did he say he would do? What was that prophecy in Isaiah 61? And what did he also say in Luke 4, verse 18? Open your Bible, please, to Luke 4, verse 18, and listen to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. Luke 4, verse 18. And he says, and he was in that synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And now that good shepherd that drew near, that questioned them, that wisely instructed and rebuked them, the poor, those troubled ones, what do they need? They need to hear the gospel. They need the gospel. They need that water upon their soul. And so in our imagination, we see the good shepherd walking and talking with these two sheep. And now he's going to preach what I think was the most beautiful, precious sermon that two troubled sinners on a dark, cloudy day in their soul could ever hear. He's going to preach to them. He's going to open the Bible. And he's going to speak especially about the priestly work, his priestly work. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And so you can picture these two men walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And no, he didn't have a Bible in his hand. We don't read that. But yet you can imagine in your imagination him walking, and he opens the Bible to Genesis 3, verse 15. Sheep, look here. Look. You hear that promise? That first promise that he had to come, that he would crush the head? He would come. He needed to come to conquer Satan. And maybe then he opened his Bible to Numbers, Numbers 21, and he told them that history of that brazen serpent that was lifted up. And he could proclaim that Jesus Christ, he had to be lifted up. So all those who were bitten, if they would look, they would be healed. And maybe he said, that Messiah that was crucified, he's the one. And maybe then he turned to the book of Ruth, and he pointed to that great Goel, that great Redeemer, that Jesus Christ, to be the great Redeemer, he had to come, he had to suffer, he had to die, he had to give everything. He had to give his body to be broken. He had to give his blood to be poured out. And maybe then he turned to Psalm 22. You see them walking there? Him turning to the scriptures, speaking about himself, because those poor ones need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about the Savior. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is for poor sinners. And then maybe he turned to Psalm 22. About all those, what the Lord Jesus expressed while he was on the cross. And then maybe he turned to Psalm 40. And he said that one came with a delight to do this. He gave himself willingly. They didn't just take him. No, men, They didn't just take him. He gave himself. It was his will. It was the will of his Father. It's the way of salvation, men. He had to die. Because if he didn't die, you would be lost. And then maybe he opened the Bible to Isaiah 53. Oh, that beautiful chapter. Every verse that speaks about the Lamb. That is the Lamb of God who gave himself. And that he pleased his Father with that sacrifice. And then maybe he opened the Bible to Zechariah. And he spoke about that sword that had to fall upon the fellow. My fellow. Who is that? Jesus Christ. That sword of God justice had to fall upon him. That sword that should fall upon you men. Fall upon you lambs. Fall upon you sheep. Fall upon you congregation. It fell upon him. And that he died. And that he was pierced, right, children? He was on the cross, and he had died, and they came to break his legs, and they didn't break his legs. And that one soldier came with a spear, and he was pierced. And maybe he turned to that chapter in Zechariah 13, that there's a fountain opened. There's a fountain opened. That fountain that can cleanse the chiefest of sinners of all their sins. Because of that fountain, he could point to it. And he had to say, man, ought not Christ to have suffered such things and entered into his glory? He had to. It's the gospel. It's the hope. Don't be so down. You should be rejoicing. It's your hope. That you may trust again. Oh, don't be so faithless, but believing. And then maybe he spoke and said he was born. He was baptized. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit to be the chief prophet, priest, and king. And then he went into that garden, not a man, but a worm. And his sweat became as great drop of blood. And he took that cup and he drank it. And then he was captured, beaten. But he said, take me and let these go. Man, he was taken for you. He was taken for you, so that you may be free. Men, dark, cloudy day, that it would all disappear, that you may see it, that is all in him. This is the way of salvation. And then he also could say, he was crucified and buried, but he did not stay. You know why the tomb is empty? Because he's alive. He's risen. Oh, be not faithless, but believing. And so, oh, there's so many more Old Testament things, many things he could have said, but just a few examples. And so as they walked together for 6 miles, could you imagine walking beside him from Cortland to Springford, him beside you, him explaining about himself from the old word of who he is for such poor sinners? I would have liked to be there. You or not? But congregation, we have much more. You say, what? We have much more. We have the whole Bible. Maybe it's even on your lap. You have much more. You have the whole testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. It's his history. It's about him. It's about the way of salvation. Oh, read the words. Read the word, congregation. Search the scriptures, for they testify of him. And so we see, we come close to Emmaus. What's the result? What's the result? These men began that road on such a dark, cloudy day in their souls. He drew near. He rebuked them. He instructed them. He preached to them about himself. What will be the result? Well, let's go to our third thought, but first sing. Standing. Psalter 84, stanzas 1 and 2. 84, 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee my counsel make thee know. But be not unruly, or slow to understand. Be not perverse, but willing to heed my wise command. 84, 1 and 2 standing. good shepherd cares for two troubled sheep. He draws near to them. He questions them. He instructs them. He rebukes them. And he preaches about himself. What will be the result? What will be the result in the hearts of such sinners? True sheep sorrow missing him, but they also know the joy of him visiting them. That gives joy. That gives life. His visits, his speaking of his word to their hearts, the word through the word, that dispels all the clouds, all the doubts when it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. That good shepherd drew near. He questioned him. He spoke to them, to his foolish sheep, and he preached a very precious sermon to them about himself. And now they come to their destination. And what happens? They're going to go, say, into a house. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, acts as if he's going to continue on. He's going to continue on. He's going to leave them. But now you're going to see what's in their hearts. What's the result of listening to him, his voice, of the precious gospel? What's in their hearts? These hearts are burning. Burning. They've been burning for a while. They've been burning for a while as they listened to him preach. Burning. Burning with love. Burning with amazement. It just melted their hearts. Love flowed out. Oh, they could have walked so many more miles just listening and listening and listening. They don't want it to end. You understand that? They don't want it to end. When he visits, when he speaks, oh, they could just sit and listen and listen and listen. But now he's going to leave them. Oh, they cannot handle that. They don't want him to leave. What will these sheep do? Can they just let him go? No. We read in verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And then they reasoned with him. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. They want him to abide. They want that Savior that preached to them such precious words. Their hearts are burning. They need to listen to him more. They want him to come. They constrain him. That love in their heart. Please don't leave. Abide with me. You understand that? Abide with me. Constraining him. All that loving kindness is life when he is near. There's no clouds. There's no doubts. It's just listening. And it goes into their ear. It goes into their hearts. And it melts. And their hearts burn. They don't want him to leave. They want him to speak more. Like the Song of Songs. Kiss me. Kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. They want more. Is that your soul? Has he ever visited you? Has he ever spoken to you? And then your heart just burned. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, stay. I just want to stay. In church, listening. Or maybe at home, just reading your Bible. You hear his voice. And he speaks, and he comforts. He shows himself through the lattice of the word. You just want to sit. You don't want to look at the time. You just want to be with him. You want him to abide. You understand this? That's in the hearts of those who are blessed with the preaching of the word, a visit of the Jesus, of Jesus Christ. How will he respond? Sinners. Fools, slow to believe and understand. Does he just leave? Will they move his heart to stay? Yes. Then we read something beautiful at the end of verse 20. And he went in to tarry with them. They moved his heart. He was acting as if he would go on. And they constrained him, abide. And he listens. He went in. He tarried with them. He communed with them. He was with them. Maybe talking more. Oh, what a precious, beautiful, compassionate, good shepherd risen. And he tarries with such sinners. Are you like these fools? are these foolish men? Are you like them in unbelief? So slow? Oh, he's willing to be with such sinners. Such sinners that he instructed so many times, and yet so slow. What a compassionate, what a good Savior. Congregation, he's that good shepherd. He's alive, and he lives forevermore, and he desires to be soft. He desires to be constrained, that you would beg him, Lord, abide with me, stay with me. And maybe they were sitting there for some time, talking, communing. I think that was a time of sweet communion. Just speaking with him, speaking. And then we read that in verse 30 and 31, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The good shepherd, he took that bread again, and he broke it. They saw it. Their eyes were opened. It's him. He's risen. It's him. No wonder our hearts burned within us, because it's him. He's alive. He's risen. It's before he's with them. They recognize him. Their eyes were opened. And so I want to go back for a moment to verse 16 in this chapter. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That verb speaks hold of someone doing something to someone else. This was not just spiritual darkness. No, their eyes were purposely holden by him. Why? And now they were open. Why? Why did he do that? What do you think? What's the lesson for these men? And then we'll come to us. Why? They needed to live by faith upon his word. He's going to leave them. He's not going to be living with them anymore on earth. They're not going to see him anymore with their eye upon earth. They have to learn to live by his word. They have to learn to live by faith, not by feeling, not by seeing, but by faith. What a lesson for these men. And that's a lesson for all his sheep. To live upon his word, what he has spoken to you, what he has spoken to his word. And now their eyes are opened, and they see him. They see him at the breaking of bread. Maybe they saw the scars on his hands. I don't know. But one thing is, their eyes are opened. Oh, their hearts must have been filled, not only burning, but with joy. Joy. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, we've been such fools. So foolish. So foolish we didn't see the way. So foolish we didn't believe. And their hearts are burning. They were burning when they walked and talked with him. Burning when he was in the house. Burning when they ate with him. And then, what will they do? He leaves. He vanishes. He's gone. Do they become sad again? No. No. Their hearts are still burning. What do they do? They go to bed. They can't go to bed. These ones can't go to bed. They can't, why not? Their hearts are burning. They could stay up all night. No, it's not unrealistic. It's true. Their hearts are burning with such love, they wouldn't even be able to sleep if they wanted to. Why? Because there's so much joy. And then they go right back to Jerusalem. 6 miles more. It's dark. That's not an obstacle. They want to go back. They want to tell their brothers. They want to tell others. He's alive. We've seen him. He's spoke to us. They want to speak. Come and hear, O ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Their hearts are overflowing with love burning. They want to speak about the king to other. He's fairer than the chief of 10,000. He's alive. He's living. He's the crucified one. He did everything. And they go back. And they come and they tell him. They tell them. And then the Lord Jesus comes again. He comes again in verse 36. As they were talking in communion, he comes. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And he saith to them, peace be unto thee. Peace be unto you. His good, kind, compassionate, wise way of dealing with such troubled souls. He takes away. He does it by his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rebuking but also instructing and taking away all the clouds. What a good shepherd for such unworthy sheep. He is alive. He lives. He reigns. He can take away the dark nights, the darkness of all the soul. And we may ask him, Lord, come. Visit this vine. Visit this place. Visit this congregation. Come. May have been here tonight. May have blessed its word. That clouds of unbelief have been all taken away. And that there may be hearts burning. Why? Because it's for his honor, for his glory. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. As thou hast visited these two troubled men, oh Lord, we ask thee to look upon us in mercy as a congregation and visit us. Work mightily, but also, Lord, we pray, visit those troubled, those burdened, afflicted, those poor, needy sinners. Thou knowest them. Thou knowest their hearts. Thou knowest where they are, where they're dwelling, how it is. Oh, visit them. Help them. Preach thy word to them, that precious gospel of who thou art and who thou hast been for them through that way of salvation and redemption. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit. We pray, keep us in this week. Remember the congregation. Watch over them. Give us safety as we travel. The Lord willing, we hope to come back after some time, and that we may be together again with the congregation. May we ask thee again to help the elders, and that thy word may be richly blessed. Look upon us in mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now sing of the Good Shepherd from Psalter 52, all four stanzas. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow, and when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 52, all four stanzas.
Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and a comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.